To call the iPhone 3G a hit, I think would be the understatement of the year. Some people have called it the phone that has changed phones forever. And that's why I'm really excited to tell you about an entirely new version, the iPhone 3GS. Now the S, it stands for speed, because this is the most powerful, fastest iPhone we've ever made.
Hello, and welcome to the Hulkcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. Joining me today, his enemies know him as Caney. L. Caney. Leander Caney is here.
What does that mean?
It's a bad 007 reference.
Okay.
Also joining us, he pens the news at Cultimac. And you know what? In my book, he's just a gosh darn swell guy. Buster.
Thanks. Hey.
What's up? Going on, dude? I just went from the heart on
gosh
that one.
Gosh darn. Dang,
gosh
man.
Darn. Golly gee. Golly gee. He's just a great guy. And we have a great show for you guys this week. So much iPhone news. You're going to be sick of iPhone news. This is going to be like sitting through the keynote as they introduce it. We're just going to talk about all these different rumors. You're going to know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah, right. I was
going to
say, news in inverted commas? You mean?
News, quote unquote.
Right.
Rumors, maybe, is more accurate. Yeah. Hearsay is probably the most accurate.
And all of them contradictory, accurate. And none of them really that concrete.
Yeah, that's the thing, actually, is there are some contradictory rumors here, and I thought it'd be interesting to get your guys' take on them, because some old rumors have resurfaced about, especially the iPhone 7 Plus, about there being a Pro model, which just seems so crazy to me. But we'll talk about all that. If you stay tuned till the end, we're going to be doing probably one of my favorite segments. This is called Under Review, where we talk about the gadgets that we're reviewing, and we'll tell you what we like and what we don't like. And we've all got something picked out. Buster, yes?
Oh,
yes?
Yeah. Awesome? Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Right.
So stay tuned to the end for that. Before we jump into our first news item, allow me to tell you guys a little bit about Cult Cloth.
Ooh.
You know, if you were so lucky to get your hands on my iPhone, my MacBook Pro, my iPad, any one of the plethora of gadgets that I have, I think you'd be thoroughly impressed because they're sparkling clean. I mean, like the day I bought them is how clean they are, because I care for my gadgets. And I don't like when they get all nasty with fingerprints and nose marks and bodily oils. I want them to be clean and sparkling. And I discovered a product about a year or so ago that cleaned devices, gadgetry, iPhones, iPads, lenses, better than anything I had ever used before. They are this really high-end microfiber cloth that are made from a fiber that goes through this special crushing process that breaks it apart, thus increasing the surface area, which makes them extraordinarily good at cleaning all your gadgets. I like them so much, I decided to acquire them and make them available to all of you, our wonderful listeners, at a very fair price. I use them every single day. I use them on my Apple Watch, on my iPhone, my iPad to keep my gadgets clean. And keyboards, too. You know that grime that builds up on your keyboard or the spaces in between your keys? Cult Cloth destroys that grime. If you are obsessive compulsive about keeping your gadgetry clean, I invite you to check them out. Head on over to cultcloth.co. You could see videos of the Cult Cloth in action. You can see pictures of them there. It's just, you're going to have a great time hanging out on cultcloth.co. Bring your friends. If you decide to make a purchase.
Such a cool place to hang out.
I'm actually thinking about turning it into a social network where people can just hang out and talk about cleaning their gadgets
all
day.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's going to be big. We're probably going to be acquired by Twitter in the near future. So get in early. If you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you'll score a free 8x8 clean cloth with any order. That is cultcloth.co. Can we start with a small news item here that I thought was worth at least mentioning before we began? It's kind of the end of an era. It looks like the non-Retina MacBook Pro is going to be disappearing from Apple stores. And I can't say that I'm surprised. It's been, 4 years, 2012 when they last updated it. But no more DVD drives in any of the notebook machines once this thing goes away.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so
sad. How are you going to watch your entertainment, Buster?
Well, I don't know. It's funny because we just moved apartments a couple weeks ago, and I tried to toss out all my wife's DVDs because who uses DVDs anymore?
A lot of people still use DVDs, surprisingly.
Yeah, I know. She has like a DVD player that like a separate one that we never use though, because everything's on iTunes and we bought all the movies, you know. So who cares about DVDs?
Does Netflix even still send out DVDs? Is that still a thing that they do?
I don't know. I was wondering that the other day.
I bet you they still do. I bet you they do Blu-rays as well.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure they're a big part of their business is the digital stuff now.
Because that used to be the only way to actually get good stuff from Netflix was to order the DVDs.
Well, it's still the only way to get new stuff. I mean, you can't stream the new stuff on Netflix until it's like, you know, been out for 5 years and then it's not the new stuff anymore. Yeah, end of an era. So long to the DVD drive. I can't believe this machine lasted as long as it did. I mean, it's been unrefreshed since 2012. It's just been sitting there on their website, and people must still be ordering. I bet you it's schools. I bet you it's schools that are ordering this machine.
Well, we did a post about it, didn't we? How surprisingly popular it was. I mean, it has. And it has remained a popular machine for a while, or was anyway, until recently. They must have removed it because it finally lost its luster.
I mean, it doesn't have any of the newer technology. It doesn't have Force Touch. It doesn't have a Retina display. It's fat and chunky. And you know, they're going to be releasing new MacBook Pros probably in September. So it probably made it look even older. So they're going to finally pull the plug on it and push people towards, I don't know, MacBook Airs or something, I'm guessing, is what the schools are probably going to start buying. Thought it was worth mentioning. It's like when Apple got rid of the floppy disk drive, you know, and the iMacs and stuff. And people were kind of all up in arms about that. And DVD drives, some people still use them. I still know some guys who are disappointed about this. They're like, well, how am I going to, you know, install software? Guess how old these people are. How am I going to install my software? All right. Let's talk about iPhone 7, Buster.
Oh, yeah. So excited.
Are you?
For the pro, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Can I just preface this conversation with, I know there are probably some people that out there that are excited for an iPhone 7. Maybe you have an older model. I am happy for you. I'm happy for you. But for those of us that upgrade every year, which is probably a smaller group of people, we're definitely in the minority, I think. This is looking to be one of the least exciting updates possibly ever for the iPhone. So, just want to put that out there. Don't hate me. I love you guys. I hope you enjoy your iPhone 7. And it will be new to you, and I think that's important. But according to Mako Takara, according to the Wall Street Journal, they've both come out this week and said, yeah, I don't expect anything that's exciting. And wouldn't you say, Leander, the Wall Street Journal kind of seems to be a proxy for Apple. They have got to be hand-feeding them this stuff.
I don't know about that, but, you know, the Wall Street Journal does this homework. I mean, you know, they don't – I'm pretty sure they probably, you know, try to get multiple sources for whatever they report and try to double-check a lot of stuff. You know, they're not just –
But don't you think other big news organizations like Bloomberg are also doing the exact same thing? And yet they are unable to get these stories.
Well, you know, I mean the Bloomberg gets some stuff, and some other people get some stuff. We get some stuff. You know, it comes from all different areas. It's a lot of it is coming from the supply chain. I mean, it's very Apple. No one wants to talk at Apple. You know, they all take secrecy very, very seriously. So it's coming from, you know, sort of outside the Apple, outside of Apple, and it's definitely not official. I mean, they're not leaking this stuff, but definitely not.
You don't think Apple's just like, hey, they go over to the Wall Street Journal office, they just slide a piece of paper under the door.
The only thing, every now and again, I think they turn down expectations. So they sometimes tell journalists stuff, you know, like ahead of like WWDC or
a week or so events. Before.
Mm-hmm. That's the only time they ever do that. You know, Apple PR will say, no, you know, that's not true. And, you know, don't get your hopes up. That's not going to happen.
Well, that kind of feels like what's happening here. When you start reading about the features of the iPhone 7 and some of the marquee features are longer earpiece cut out. Relocated ambient light sensor.
Yeah.
You start thinking, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not going to be the most exciting updates. And I was reading that Apple was trying to, it seems, get more exciting technology ready for this release. And they just weren't able to get the phone ready in time. So I wonder if that might be why we're seeing such a ho-hum update here. And we've talked about this in the past. The phone is, by and large, supposed to be almost exactly like the 6S. In fact, you might as well call it the 6SS. Now, for marketing reasons, that's probably a bad idea. But but that would be an apropos title, I believe, considering it's going to be, all in all, the same phone that we have now, with some, you know, decent updates that make it a little bit different from the 6S. Should we maybe talk about some of those busters so we don't bum everyone out?
Don't you want to back up? Like, what's the overall? I mean, the latest rumors is there's going to be three models, right? One of them being the top end being the Pro model.
I don't know about three models. I just think they're going to call the Plus the Pro.
Okay.
Or do you think they're going to have, like, extra features for a Plus size that makes it Pro? So they would have a 7, a 7 Plus, and then a 7 Pro?
That's what I thought was going on. But
that's
what
I thought, too, yeah.
Oh, I don't see them doing that.
We'll see. Okay, we might as well just talk about this. So there was a leak this week on the Chinese microblogging site Weibo. Weibo? Uh-huh. Weibo? You say Weibo, I say Weibo.
Weibo, okay. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And it said that there was going to be a high-end iPhone 7 Plus Pro model, and then it leaked a price list showing the different prices for the various different iPhones. And I thought this looked strange because, so you're going to have the iPhone 7, and then you're going to have the 7 Plus, and we heard earlier this week that the 7 Plus, that all 7 Pluses, and this came from Mako Takara, was going to have the dual lens camera on the back. And that made sense to me. Okay, yep, the iPhone 7 Plus, the Plus model always has the higher-end camera. But this rumor that came from Weibo said that there was going to be a 7 Plus with a normal upgraded camera, and then the 7 Plus Pro, which was going to have the dual lens camera, and it would also have higher amounts of storage.
They do that crap. I'm going to be so pissed off at Apple.
That seems like it's very confusing. It's confusing just describing it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm cross-eyed now just from even thinking about this.
That's stupid.
It doesn't seem like a very Apple thing to do, does it?
Or, no.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What do you guys think?
You're going to throw... If the only thing that makes the 7 Pro a Pro over the 7 Plus is a dual-lens camera and more storage, but it costs $100 more? Oh, come on. That's so stupid. Why don't you just throw the dual-lens camera on the Plus and allow people to buy the 256 storage if that's what they really want?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, their product lines are already so confusing. So having a 7 Plus and a 7 Pro just adds to the confusion, especially when they're going to look exactly like the 6S's.
Well, doesn't it kind of reflect the iPad lineup though at the moment with the Pro, you know, the 13-inch Pro and then the 12-inch Pro, which used to be the Air, and you know, the Mini and so on and so forth. You know, it's,
but there's only iPad Mini and iPad Pro now. I mean, they still have the iPad Air 2 that they sell, but I mean, technically now it's either iPad Mini or iPad Pro.
So
the Plus and the Pro, using both of them just sounds so stupid. Why not just put both of them under the Pro name?
And they very well might do that.
Yeah.
They might just do that. It is confusing, isn't it? When you start thinking about the different product versions, especially in the iPad line, dear Lord, it's enough to make your head spin. So I hope they just stick with the 7 Plus, and as you said, Buster, they put the dual lens camera in that phone, and they give you the extra storage space if you want it, and you don't need to call it a Pro. I realize that Apple likes to standardize their naming conventions across different lines, and oftentimes I think that's a smart thing to do. But in this case, what would make the phone who needs a pro phone?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense for an iPad because people actually use it for production, so you might need a pro model that does things that help you in your work. But, like, I have a consumer phone. Oh, man, are you a pro? Yeah, I have a pro phone, man. I can do things with my phone that you can't do with your phone, like make phone calls that are extra long. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to have a pro model phone.
Well, for the camera, I mean, you know, you do get companies that go, like, iPhone only on video and stuff now, and so
yeah.
Adding that, I can see in some ways like, oh, it's a really nice camera plus it's a phone, so that's why it's pro. But mm-hmm. But the plus is already a pro phone. It just sounds so silly.
Well, that was the talk about it, right? There was gonna, it's a marketing thing, yeah. So
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you say pro, then it makes it sound like, especially for, because it was gonna be marketed on its photography, on the camera, yeah. So the pro label gives it that, you know, kind of DSLR substitute
type. But
it's type.
Still not going to substitute for a DSLR. Even when they add the 12 to the dual lenses, it's still not going to be as good as a DSLR.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, as much as we guffaw, I just love that word, over the quality of the camera in the iPhones, they are still not anywhere close to DSLR quality. Camera or image quality. They're very good for a phone, but they are still small lenses. They have reduced depth of field. They don't have nearly the dynamic range as
yeah.
sensors that are larger.
You just can't do as much with them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they
can't.
Are very simple cameras. They're great cameras, and you know, they're the camera I use the most. But if you yep. want to shoot something big and sexy, you need a DSLR still.
Yeah, and they're the camera that you use the most because it's the camera that's with you the most,
yeah.
I think. I mean, you're certainly not using it because the image quality is better than your, you know, Nikon DSLR or something. If you had your Nikon, you would definitely use that over an iPhone. So, I don't know. With all that in mind, I just calling it a pro model just doesn't really make sense to me. But this rumor has resurfaced. I mean, this is something that we've talked about before on this show. And then here we are again talking about it again. So it seems a little peculiar to me that it's resurfaced. And we're getting closer to the actual phone's release. So this is when we're going to start seeing more and more rumors come out. And hopefully the rumors will start to agree with one another. And it'll give us a very clear picture on what we're actually going to get. Let's talk about some of these other features in the iPhone 7. So A10 processor, you probably surmised. Buster, you wrote about the possibility of a new blue color for the iPhone 7.
Yeah, there was a rumor that Apple might do away with the space gray and go to blue, which that would be interesting. The mock-ups actually don't look too bad. And maybe, you know, it kind of gives guys like a new... It's so silly that, yeah, the color is what's going to get you to upgrade, but that really might be it. Like, you buy the new phone just to get the blue one so that you can show people that you have the newest iPhone. But I think it's a smart marketing move.
And they do it all the time.
Yeah,
they always
that's what they
change
do every
colors
year.
Of things,
yeah.
right?
This I mean,
is
they like make the car, rose gold. It's what Yeah, and it's kind of like the car industry, isn't it? You know, like the car industry, like I think their models stick around for 7-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what changes is, you know, things like the colors and some small, subtle
right.
details of the body paneling. And I think, you know, I guess we're entering that kind of era now with the iPhone.
I mean, it makes sense, especially if they're not going to be adding a ton of extra features, like actual useful features. They're like, what can we do? We're not adding any features that are different from the 6S.
Let's make it.
And one of the marketing
blue.
Guys raised his hand. He waved his hand, raised his hand, and shook it in the air. And he's like, I got it. We'll change the color. And everyone just kind of nodded in approval
Brilliant.
And slowly clapped.
Tony's just like, genius.
Genius. Dual lens on the 7 Plus. We talked about that. An upgraded camera, of course, on the 7, it will also have that. One of the things I really hope for, better waterproofing. It would
right.
be phenomenal if they made this thing just
right.
just absolutely waterproof
oh,
so you can take
well,
it in the water.
Yeah.
The Samsung phones, are they? How do they advertise? Are they waterproof now? Or
yeah.
Are they water?
Oh, man.
Some of them are. Some
I
of
went
them
to, I was at Havasupai a couple months ago, and somebody had the S7 that's waterproof.
S7 Active?
Yeah, and they're, you know, yeah. just jumping in the water. No problems, no case. It was just like the Lil Wayne commercial, pouring champagne all over it.
It's champagne proof?
Yeah. I was.
Oh, my goodness.
Bubbly proof.
And I'm jealous because I even used the LifeProof case, and I still get my phone all effed up.
That's the one feature on Android phones I truly envy.
Yeah.
Is that S7 Active is not just, it's not just waterproof. It's built to be rugged. So when you're in the pool and everyone's dancing in their bikinis with the gold chains, like if it hits the gold chain, it's not going to scratch it or break it. You pour the bubbly right on it, right? And it's still going to work afterwards.
What if you drop it on the tile?
It's impact right resistant. Back up again. Yeah, right back into your hand.
Bad.
So that's one of the phones that I'm like, yeah, that would actually be pretty cool to carry around, because you could live life with it and not have to worry about breaking it or, you know, damaging it with water or bubbly. I hope Apple takes the waterproofing and adds that to the iPhone 7. I don't think they would do the impact resistance.
Oh god, that's what they need, because I'm tired of
that'd be nice.
Tired of breaking my iPhone 3 times every year.
Yeah, well, but the S7 Active doesn't look like a normal phone either. I mean, it looks like a piece of military equipment.
Yeah.
So whenever they're trying to beef it up so that it's impact resistant, I don't feel like it.
It's not as they sexy. Can't make it. No.
Yeah, it's not sexy, but it's super functional. And then, of course, the Lightning headphone jack with dongle. And you wrote a story about this, Buster, I believe this is another Macintosh Car rumor. And we've talked about this. I mean, this has been reported by all sorts of other news agencies as well, that the 3.5-millimeter iPhone or headphone jack is going away, and you'll have to use your Lightning ports to listen to music. There's probably going to be an adapter of some kind included. Is that right, Buster?
Yeah, Lightning to 3.5 adapter. It'll be in because you won't be able to charge during that unless it's split somehow, right? So,
well, if it has the smart connector dock on the back, as we've talked about here before, which is kind of looking now like it may not happen, then you might be able to charge it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll just give you a pass-through connection. So it will have a Lightning connector that plugs into your phone, and then on the other side it will have a Lightning connector and then maybe like a 3.5-millimeter jack.
Mm-hmm.
That would look super cool, man, just carrying that around.
Super, super yeah, sleek. Right.
Tentacles hanging off the bottom of your phone. You guys are probably apathetic to this, I would imagine. You just probably don't care that Apple's switching to the Lightning adapter. You know, it's probably going to sound a lot better. It may sound a ton better than it does now, but it does suck because all of my headphones all have 3.5-millimeter jack, and now they're all going to be requiring an adapter of some kind to plug in my iPhone. And that's really inconvenient, I think. It's an inconvenient feature. Even if it does improve audio quality, it adds that level of inconvenience, and I'm not sure if I would want the better audio quality and sacrifice the convenience. What do you think, Leander?
You know, I'm okay with the connector with the dongle.
Yeah,
and I got a nice pair of USB headphones now that has a dongle when you plug it in, and it's not really that much of a problem. I haven't lost it yet, and I think that was the thing I was worried about, was just like losing it and not having it with me.
Eventually you will, though. You will lose it. It's just another thing to lose.
Yeah, right, true. I've been trying to use Bluetooth headphones. And in fact, we're going to talk about this later. I've got a really nice pair of Bluetooth earbuds that are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Bluetooth, I think, Bluetooth is my preferred way of going. But the problem there is keeping them charged. You know, whenever I want to use them, they've always been discharged.
Right, so yeah. Because they only have like a full day of battery life oftentimes, and that's it.
Right, yeah. And the nicer ones, the sleeker ones, have small batteries, and the battery life doesn't last that well. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think that I'm pretty sure they discharge pretty quickly if you leave them in your bag. So, if you only use, like, sometimes I only use them like once a week, and when I got to use
really?
It.
Really? And they die on you?
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird problem.
Well, probably because, you know, I listen to it, and then I put it in the bag, and I don't charge it, and then, you know.
Do you turn them off, though?
Yeah. I think so.
Interesting. I mean, normally, like lithium-ion batteries or lithium polymer batteries, they don't lose their charge that quickly.
Well, yeah. I, every time I see, you know, it's like every other time I go to use them, they seem to be, you know, out of juice, discharged, useless. And then I got to, you know, wear them with a headset.
Well, we'll talk about those. I've got actually a pretty cool pair of headphones too that we can talk about. So, but let's wrap up on this iPhone 7 talk. So, I'm a little concerned for Apple in the next year. Reading all the specs for the iPhone 7, it doesn't seem to be, to me, to be a very compelling device. If you're going to upgrade, if you're ready to upgrade, you're going to buy this phone regardless. But this isn't, I don't feel like this phone, at least from what we know about it so far, Apple may come out on stage and introduce some features that we had no idea they were going to introduce, and we'll all be wild and I'll be eating my hats while I'm in line waiting to buy the iPhone 7. But as it stands now, not super compelling. And if this ends up being what Apple actually releases, I'm kind of curious to see how well this phone will sell in light of all the other Android phones that are coming out that seem to have, I don't know, more progressive feature sets and aren't such soft updates. Do you think people will flock en masse to buy this, Leander?
Well, there were some reports right busted that they are making really big projections about this and doing a lot of, you know, ordering a lot of components.
Really?
Although I think the rumors there were, again, were conflictory, right? Contradictory. There was some were saying that they were trying to ramp down the component orders, and then some were saying that they were really ramping it up. I think this is going to be a big release, even if to us, you know, it seems, the same form factor. I don't think people really care about that, to be honest. I think it's the guts, and it's the ecosystem, and it's the software, and I think with iOS 10. And, you know, a new blue color. I really think colors are enough to, like, entice people to come in. I mean, look at the hullabaloo about all the rose gold stuff, you know, that people that they've released. I think they're such amazing phones, and it's such an amazing ecosystem, and the software's so good that it's going to sell like gangbusters. Even if to us it's like, you know. And the tech press is going to, like, shrug, right? Like they do every year. And it's so so right. predictable.
Yeah.
And the improvements have always been incremental. Even though, you know, they market these, you know, the so-called, you know, the new model years, I think they've trained everyone to think that you should be getting these big. I was talking about this with Ken Siegel, you know, the guy that named the iMac, and he was saying that he thinks that the S convention is a big mistake because it trains people to think that the S year is actually a down year when in fact they've released a lot of really big and impactful stuff, you know, like the fingerprint scanner, Touch ID, and Retina screens, and I think if you look back on it, you know, the phone, it has been this constant incremental improvement. Even though the new model years, if they come out with a new form factor, it makes it seem like it's a big change. When you look back on it, it's not. They've just changed the sort of, you know, they've flip flopped, haven't they, between the metal back and the glass back. The sandwich design and the sort of extruded aluminum design, but really what they've been doing is adding these incremental improvements year after year after year after year, and this continues that pattern. I think, you know, the fact that if they do a big change of the packaging, it's actually kind of like a smokescreen, really. Well, not a smokescreen, but it's not as you know, people go gaga about that when they really should be, like, concentrating on things like, you know, does it have an OLED screen, which is probably going to be much more impactful
because
the battery life will be much better. Does it have a bigger battery? You know, stuff like that.
Well, I've been telling people who've been asking me what they should do to, let's wait and see what Apple does. And then if you don't like what you see, just wait a year. Wait a year if you can, I guess. I have a 6S, so it's easy for me to say that. I know some people that have, like, iPhone 5Ss, so they're not so keen on waiting. But if you could wait until next year is going to be the 10th anniversary of the iPhone, and I think it's just going to be...
10 years already?
I know, isn't that crazy? It's going to be a blowout. I mean, it's going to get crazy. If you've seen Mad Max, Tim Cook's going to come out like that guy holding the electric guitar on the back of that truck, and there's going to be like fire spraying everywhere, and he's just going to be playing like these killer riffs on his electric guitar, and there's going to be people juggling chainsaws and stuff. It's going to be a disaster, A, but B, epic, and it looks like there are major changes in store for next year's iPhone, which I wouldn't be surprised if they just called it the iPhone 8 and did away with the S years, as you said, Leander. I think that they're starting to make less and less sense. Let's move on to Under Review.
Ooh.
The segment where we talk about what we like and what we don't like about the technology that we're currently reviewing. Leander, since you talked about yours already, care to tell us a bit more about what you've been reviewing? First of all, what's the name?
It's the JLab Epic 2 Bluetooth J-Lab. Wireless Sport Earbuds.
Epic 2. It's not even the 1, it's the 2.
Epic 2.
This is the second time they've made an Epic product.
Right. Well, following on from the... you'll find this hard to believe, but they've well received the Epic earbuds, which is their first version, which came out a couple of years ago, and they got really, really good reviews. They were like, a lot of people's favorite waterproof gym earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
And the Epic 2's improves on a lot of things. The sound really, really great. They really do sound great. It's really got good meaty muscular sound.
Meaty and muscular. Now I'm listening. Now I'm paying attention.
Yep, it's definitely it's the cheesesteak of earbuds.
Yummy. Do tell.
It's the quarter pound the half pound burger.
It's the Royale with cheese of earbuds.
Of earbuds, yeah.
Okay.
And they're pretty kind of big, for Bluetooth earbuds that the bodies of them are quite big, but I thought that was going to be a problem because it'd be like jamming a couple of, they'd be too big to put into your ear, but they're not. They're fine, and they have this nice what they call memory wire, which is basically a wire which you loop over the back of your ear, and then you press it together to hold it there together. So they hold in place really good as well, and the battery life is really good, but the sound is the best thing. I like the sound of them really well,
and they're Bluetooth, so they connect and just stay connected, and there's no wires or anything, which is pretty convenient.
Yeah, I like that. That's, I'm really a big fan, because I'm sick of, I go to the gym, or I was always snagging the wires on something.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm bench pressing, and trying to get
when you're bench pressing several hundred pounds.
Right.
And what wires get in the way.
Right, the wire would snag, and then it would, collapse on my chest, I'd be pinned to the bench. It was awful. So, I was always snagging them on something, a door handle, a machine, on the runner, in fact, I'd often do it on the treadmill, right? When I went too far back and the treadmill kicked me off the back like Taylor Swift, it would pull my phone off of the front of the machine, and then it would come flying and hit me in the face.
Uh-huh.
I like the Bluetooth. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bluetooth. And this one actually it connects, sometimes in the, connection problems, no connection problems so far with this. Very easy to connect, very easy to set up. Yeah, I like them. They sound really good. They sound great.
Well, I've got some Bluetooth headphones as well, and I want to give a shout out to Galactic Bystander from thecultcast.reddit.com. I put up a
Galactic
post.
Bystander.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's his Reddit name and not his actual real
name.
Maybe it is. That'd be awesome. That'd be unbelievable. So I asked people on thecultcast.reddit.com to suggest items that they would want to hear us talk about on the show, and he suggested that we review the BioPlay H7 Bluetooth headphones. These are over-the-ear headphones. And so I hit up BioPlay and asked them if they would send some over, and they were nice enough to do that. So I've been testing these guys out for about a month. BioPlay is a premium brand, so off the bat, you get these things out of the box, and they look beautiful. And in fact, that's one of the things I like about BioPlay is all their stuff looks nice. It's understated. It doesn't have gaudy stitching or a bunch of disgusting embellishments that look terrible. They're understated, but they look nice. And they connect via Bluetooth, so they're super convenient. This is one of my first pairs of Bluetooth headphones. I have to say, not having a wire present when you're listening to music is a revelation. Wouldn't you agree, Leander?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like it would be a big deal, but it really is. Not having a wire fall off your ear and be connected to something that you can, you know, accidentally tug on if you move away from is more than just convenient. It's like the future. Once you've done it, you will never want to use wires again, I don't think. And these things sound good, and you would probably expect that from a pair of headphones that cost $450.
Yeah.
So they're not cheap. And they also have a control mechanism on the side of the headphones that you can use to play and pause your music, you know, move forward and backward in Spotify or Apple Music, you know, in your different tracks. You can fast forward, or I guess the right word is skip forward to tracks or skip back. So it adds a level of convenience in that regard too, because you don't need to be right next to your iPhone or whatever you're connected to. All that said, there are some quirks with these headphones that I wouldn't say are deal breaker for me, but they're definitely something that you're going to want to keep in mind. And first would be that control structure I just mentioned is actually kind of awkward to use, and that's because it's touch-based. And so you're basically doing motion controls and touch controls on the side of your head, and it's not easy to do when it's on the side of your head. Like, you never really know exactly where on the headphones you're supposed to be touching, and if you don't touch them in the right way, you can accidentally pause your track instead of skipping forward or skipping backward. So I found it to be a little bit awkward and clumsy to use, and most of the time I found that I would rather just control the volume and all the music stuff on my iPhone itself rather than touching the sides of the headphones. And then second, and I hesitate to mention this because I don't generally like talking about price, because price is subjective. Some people don't think $450 is a lot to spend on headphones. I think it's a significant amount of money, and I would expect for that price for these headphones to sound better than they do. Now, this could be because Bluetooth doesn't sound as good as a wired connection. In all the headphones that I've tried, they are just not capable of transmitting the full spectrum audio that you get when you're connected via USB or, you know, just with a regular audio cable. So you do not get the audio quality that you would get, say, if you spent $450 on another pair of premium headphones like the Sennheiser HD 600s, which are about $400 and oftentimes less if you get them on sale. And those sounds better than the BO Play H7s. But you're really paying for a level of technology and convenience with these particular headphones. And so you're not just getting sound, you're getting a bunch of technology that helps you be wireless and control your music wirelessly. So you kind of have to take that full picture into mind when you're making your purchase decision on these. That all said, these are a great pair of headphones, and I would definitely recommend them to people if you can afford $450 and you want to be wireless. I would say go for it. These are a beautiful pair of headphones that sound good. And as I said, not having a wire makes a world of difference. It will change your life. You'll be a changed person. You'll be a better person. It'll be a better you.
I don't want to, cast aspersions on your take on the sound quality.
Yeah.
But I thought, and I could be wrong, that the latest Bluetooth, 4.0, I thought that the signal that it sends, the audio signal, was indistinguishable, or it's as good as a wired connection.
You know,
They say that,
but no way.
But it's still compressed. From my understanding of Bluetooth, is it's still compressed. I know Bluetooth 5 is going to be coming out within the next year. I'm not sure what the audio spec is for Bluetooth 5. Maybe that will be uncompressed audio. But yeah, I don't think it's the same. I think that's marketing speak. I don't think it's actually the same. And people will say it's indistinguishable. But I can.
He says bollocks.
I can tell. Yeah. I have a higher level. I exist in a higher plane of listening existence, Leander, that you probably just wouldn't get. Most people wouldn't understand.
I just don't trust audio people who say they're audiophiles.
Yeah. I'm not an audiophile. I'm not an audiophile, although I dabble. And, it's also possible that because they had to put extra technology into these headphones, that meant that they had to spend less money on other components in the headphones themselves. So maybe you're not getting the same audio quality that you would from these headphones if they were purely analog and didn't have extra technology in them. So it could be that as well.
They look beautiful. They look really, really nice headphones, yeah.
They're some of the most beautiful headphones that I have ever reviewed. The color palette is great. They don't have gaudy contrast stitching. A lot of people put contrast stitching on headphones. You know, like a black band with like white stitching?
Yeah.
I hate that. It's one of my biggest pet peeves in life. I despise contrast stitching in cars and on products. It just drives me crazy. I don't know why people do it. Can you tell I'm passionate about it?
Yeah. Man.
Oh, also, these things have all-day battery life, too. So you can listen to them all day. They're comfortable. I would listen to them for 3, 4, 5 hours, and my ears wouldn't hurt. If you have giant, you know, monster ears like Will Smith, that might be different for you. but yeah, anyway. Buster, what do you got for us?
Oh, dude, I just got a camera.
Oh, is that all? Is it like it's a $3,000 Sony camera?
Oh, almost. Almost. I mean, it is a point and shoot, and it is from Sony, but it doesn't cost $3,000. It's the...
What is it?
The Sony... RX 100 Mark IV digital camera. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I've been looking for smaller cameras to replace my iPhone on hikes and stuff, but that aren't as bulky as a DSLR. So I was using that Fuji X-T1. That thing was really nice. I actually really...
Even that's kind of bulky, though.
Yeah, even
compared
that's
to a point and shoot.
Totally. And so, like, this is totally, like, a point and shoot that's worthy of replacing your iPhone, I feel like.
Wow.
20 megapixels off of it. Also does 4K video. It's also got one of those, what is that? Like, the LCD comes out, and you can adjust it. And
articulating?
Flip it upside down and stuff.
Flap, smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Hey-o. Also, it's got an optical zoom on the lens from, 24 millimeters to 70 millimeters. And it's pretty good. You know, it's pretty bright. It's got f1.8 lens. So, you can take some sexy pictures with it.
Well, no matter what you use, you're taking sexy pictures. I know that much.
Yeah, I really like this thing. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about a point and shoot because...
I know, what? A what? A
point? Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like about a
right, I know, yeah.
All those things are gone away.
No, and it does kind of feel silly to carry a point and shoot when you also have your iPhone, but the picture quality off of this thing is just way freaking better than your iPhone.
Plus, yeah, it probably has a much larger sensor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm certain that it does, yeah.
I mean, the opening is, just, I don't know, 500 times bigger than the iPhone's little lens, you know? And that makes just such a huge difference, especially when you're shooting at sunset, sunrise, you know, when the light is perfect but low still, and you don't want to get a lot of noise, it's way better than the iPhone.
You have given one of the very few examples, use cases, of why you would still want to have a point and shoot that I've probably ever heard. Or at least in the last 10 years. When we went to CES, I would look around. I would look at the vast wasteland of camera point-and-shoots and think to myself, why do these still exist?
Uh-huh.
Who is buying point-and-shoots anymore? Because everyone just uses their iPhones or their Android phones or what have you. But yes, this actually makes a lot of sense because you're out in nature. You don't want to just use your iPhone because the image quality isn't quite as good as something that is... has a larger sensor, and so you actually have a great reason to want to bring a point-and-shoot with you.
Yeah, I guess one of the few people that still wants a point-and-shoot that's decent. And it's nice because then you can just forget your iPhone in the car, and you don't have to worry about that.
It just totally unplugged.
Yeah, and so, yeah, and you just... And, you know, it's small enough that I can carry the Sony RX100 in my pocket, and it's no problem.
Is it waterproof?
No, it's not waterproof.
So it'll be dead within a month.
Yeah. I'll hopefully send it back a working review unit. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, just send it back like with like water in it. They open up the SD card slot. A freaking fish comes out of it.
Gave it a thorough review, you know.
What about the kind of? What about getting photos off it? Does it have any?
Oh, you know,
wireless?
That is one thing about it that I don't like. I have this other Olympus point and shoot that I was reviewing, and it has iFi built into it, so you can transfer them over Wi-Fi. This one it plays nice with Wi-Fi cards, but it doesn't have it built in. I don't think.
Oh man!
I know.
That does kind of suck.
Yeah, but I have an iFi card, memory card that I use, so I just use that anyway, and it brings that capability to it.
Do those iFi cards transfer pictures very fast? I always thought they were super slow.
They're pretty decent now. The first one that I had a couple years ago was slow, and it would kind of get some errors on the pictures when transferring over. But now it's zippy.
And it's definitely more convenient than plugging wires
in. Oh, yeah, or bringing like a dongle, because I just edit everything on my iPad anyway. So I just transfer them straight over.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of course, once Apple gets rid of the SD card slot, as has been rumored on the new MacBook Pro, then you're going to need to buy a freaking dongle to use an SD card slot. And I'm gonna curse the sky every time I have to get pictures off of my various cameras. Maybe I'll want to get one of those iFi cards at that time, too.
Dude, I'd recommend it. They're awesome.
Okay. All right. So that is the Sony RX100 Mark IV. How much is it?
I think it's $950-ish.
What?
Yeah.
$950 for a point and shoot? Girl.
Dude, 20 megapixels, bro.
Well, I'm looking on the site now, Buston. It says $499.
Oh, on what site? Maybe that's a used. Or are you on the Mark IV? Because the Mark III, I think, is a lot cheaper and has a lot of the same specs.
Oh, but, no. Yeah, I don't know if it's the new the latest one.
I can't tell on their website either.
Okay, well, we'll put the final price in the show notes. Regardless, even $500 for a point and shoot.
It's worth it, bro.
It's a point and shoot, bro. Point and shoots aren't cheap, man. They're point and shoots. They're hot. Everyone wants one.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, here it is. I found it. Yeah, $950.
$950?
Oh, wow. Crikey. O'Reilly.
Crikey and O'Reilly. Did you hear what you're doing to Leander over here?
Dude, but it's...
He's about to have a coronary.
Yeah.
It's a nice-looking camera, but...
It's a sexy camera. Oh, man. You know what I really want to review is the mirrorless camera that Hasselblad just announced yesterday. That thing looks sexy. It's like $8,000, though.
It's only $8,000? Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they'll send one out to you right away.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. We'll put all the products in the show notes if you guys want to check them out online. But that is all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what products you think we should review next, head on over to Twitter, would you, pals? Come say hi to us. I'm at Arifon. Buster is BST3R. Leander is L. Kenny. We would love to hear what products we should be getting our hands on. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Next time.
Oh, man. That's lovely.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to get back to watching the Democratic sit-in on Periscope.
Oh, is that still going on?
Still going on, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, they're probably having a catered lunch right now. Right. Only the finest.
Oh, cow, protesting is so hard.
Do we need to do a clap?
We do indeed. Ready? One, two, three. Booyah! One, two, three. On that ass.
Not bad.
Slap it up, flip it, and rub it down. Hello. Oh, no.
Who says that?
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah, I was thinking Bill Hader in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. That guy kills me. Just the way he says it kills me. Oh, man. Belle Biv DeVoe, they were right, David. That girl was poison.